Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it for
need some help, y'all.
Change the world from what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now, wonder what you tell me now. Fire, fire.
Good evening. We praise God and thank God for his grace and his mercy. Thank God for all of you who have joined us this evening. My name is Jesse Stoll by way of McDonough, Georgia, which is about 30 miles south of downtown Atlanta off of Interstate I-75. We thank God for his grace, his mercy, which endures forever. Although we live in a world today where sometimes there seems to be less visible or less evident than other times. But we welcome you tonight to the Monday Night Blog Talk Radio Show, where I am a co-host with my queen, my bride, Tammy. So we give God glory and honor tonight, and thank you all for joining us. She has an extremely busy day, an extremely busy week, and she's trying to cram 5 days into 4.5. So we thank God for being able to step in tonight and start us off with a word of prayer. Father, we praise you tonight and we thank you. We thank you for an opportunity, Father, to share what thus says the Lord and what you have placed on our hearts. We thank you tonight, Father, for being able to discuss a subject matter that so often we don't have an opportunity to discuss, the concept itself of righteousness and how vitally important it is to pursue righteousness as we want to add all of the things that might be in the mundane plane of life. Yet when we fail to pursue righteousness at that same time, we may acquire all of the material goods that one could ever imagine, that in that process never achieve the purpose for which we were born. So we thank God tonight as we go through a little study on the concept of righteousness and why it is vitally important for all of us to have the ability to pursue, the ability to look for, to find, to seek, and to discover righteousness and what we do. Now, Father, we know that most of the time we fall short. We fall short of your glory. We sometimes seem to not to be able to achieve any of that which we so desire to achieve. But, Father, there are so many impediments, so many things in this world that cause us to stumble and fall and not be able, Father, to achieve that which we have purposed in our heart. And yet in all of that, Father, we come before your throne this evening with great humility, yet great expectation, knowing that as we approach your throne with grace, as we approach with humility, that, Father, we are able to also move your heart, because we want to be like David always, Father, man that follows you, that a man that has the heart of God. Well, you said that David had a heart like yours. So, Father, we pray tonight as we dig deeper into this concept of oneness, of marriage, and why you ordained it and why you made it such a blessing, yet at the same time, why you have laid out the foundation and the reasons why it can also be the most complicated achievement that one might ever have an opportunity to pursue, to endure, and to capture. So we give you glory tonight. We give you honor as we pursue, Father, this particular subject matter. It's enough, Father, simply to say something is your desire, that you desire to pursue righteousness in the world that we live in, a world, Father, where we see each and every day the continued objectification of our women. Father, the continued, Father, decisions and actions of our men that undermine, Father, not only themselves, but their families and their people. Father, we pray that we can all mature and get to that point of where we know and understand that actions that we take, Father, things that we do, they don't only affect us, but they affect our families and they affect all of our people. Father, I pray that the ancestors who came before us, who made available to us, Father, the desire, the wherewithal, Father, the intestinal fortitude to see it through, that their spirit, Father, might illuminate and guide us and give us what we need to push through, to get through for such a time as this. For, Father, we do live in a time that creates great, great fear, great, great doubt, Father, animosity, confusion all around. But, Father, we see sometimes those being rewarded and awarded in situations and in realities that we know in a spirit of righteousness, it should not be pleasing to them, should not be pleasing to their families, pleasing to us, nor to our ancestors. So we pray tonight, Father, that we can just kindle, that we can just prick a little bit of righteousness, a little bit of desire to go and pursue, to go and to study what that might mean, that, Father, one might wake up then and begin to see and to understand that it is indeed worthwhile to have an element to pursue the dimensions and the understandings of righteousness. And so, Father, we do give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. For we know, Father, without you, we will simply always miss the mark. But because we have you, because we understand what can be ours if we simply be obedient to the will of the Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Father, in the sweet, precious name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and all in agreement, simply say it across this blog talk radio tonight. Amen, amen, and amen. There is a particular scripture that we can lay the foundation with. You find it in Matthew 6:33. Isn't that interesting? 6:33, 6 and 3 and 3, that's a 6 as well. It's just amazing. But it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That seems simple enough, that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because if we seek first the kingdom of God, we have to ask ourselves a simple question. What is the kingdom of God? You know, why do we long or don't know or don't understand what that might be on what is the kingdom of God? Many of us have our own ideals of what it is, but it's about the fulfillment of God's will on earth. The kingdom of God is not about religion. It's not about any of that. It's about learning how to walk in the righteousness of God. For the word teaches us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's John 8. But we start putting some things together and say, wait a minute, if in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and then it said, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So think about that. That should let us all know that the words that we speak, the things that we say, they are filled with power. They are filled with things that we simply cannot understand. Sometimes, for example, we may pray, and we may have a prayer and ask God to send his angels, to send his protection, that when we go out, that when we go to a place, when we go to do a thing, that we might be protected, that there may be angels on assignment. And I can tell you that's so true. For even just last week, you know, we were making a trip down to Americas, and on our way home, it was 10:30, 11 o'clock or so at night, and we're traveling down Georgia 19, a four-lane highway, but it's very dark, not any street lights per se, not any, nothing but darkness in the highway. And all of a sudden, about 10, 15 minutes, two-hour ride, we see to the right in the twinkling of an eye a deer that's crossed the highway. And then you're thinking in your mind that, whoa, it's going to be another one perhaps, but maybe you'll get lucky that they're not going to be coming across. You out there all lonesome, all by yourself, no other cars moving anywhere, coming towards you or going from you. And then all of a sudden you hear, boom, and you know you've been hit by the deer. You know something has happened. And yet it's so dark, you make a decision that you see your all of the instrumentation blinking and blinking and blinking. So you know there's some level of damage, but you don't leave. You don't stop. You just keep rolling and saying, well, let's wait till we get to a place that's more well lit, which was about another 30 minutes down the road when we finally could pull over and see the damage that had occurred in that particular instant. And when we look, it was amazing that, yes, we had indeed been hit by the deer right at the driver left corner. You would say right at 11 o'clock. And then once it hit, the body apparently wrapped around and hit the driver's door that we didn't even know about until the next day, because we couldn't really see. And the next morning we got up and we could see where the damage was more extensive than it appeared to be that evening. Yet you ask yourself the question, why was it not 2 inches different? If it had been just 2 more inches, perhaps it would have punctured a tire. Perhaps something else could have had. Perhaps what if it came into the side door? All of these things are running through your mind. But you know, you've been praying, you've been believing, you've been going through a whole lot of challenges, a lot of things are happening. In that millisecond, Samuel was saying, oh, Jesse, there's going to probably be another, bam! I mean, you knew it's something that was going to happen because you've seen that one and they travel in more than one. They go out actually doing what Jesus had his money says to do, to go out at least 2 by 2. And then you fast forward and we find out, and this is ongoing, it's going to all come together. We fast forward and find out that we heard some very, very, oh, terrible news that one of our former basketball players' mother, one of Jaleel's friends' mother, a young lady that Jaleel graduated from high school with in the same class that her mother had been murdered just last night. Beautiful lady, beautiful spirit. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because the world is filled with unrighteousness, and the world is filled with situations that we cannot always anticipate. Just like we could not anticipate that that deer herd was going to come across the highway, bam, it did. But one thing we can be assured of, because of the grace of God, we were able to withstand that fiery dart of the enemy. And God made that two-inch protection part of it, so we'd have just another chapter in our book of life. Another reminder that, no, I got you. You got things to do. And see, some may not even see the beauty. Some may not even see the revelation in that. But yes, the enemy is always busy trying to take out, trying to hurt, trying to harm. But if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these things, what are some of these things? They're not always material. Sometimes they're spiritual. Sometimes they're spiritual in the nature, just as that God is going to protect you. He's going to make sure that you're not going to get stranded out in the middle of nowhere at night, dark, without any kind of instrumentation. No, it's going to happen. It's going to be a reminder. But at the end of the day, he's going to protect you because he wants you to know, I got your back. I tell you now, on the other hand, we don't know the real reason. It's too early to say what took place in this young lady's life that was murdered. 40 years old with two beautiful children, knowing that she was a beautiful lady, a lady that was a believer. And yet some kind of way, just as we found out a couple of weeks ago, when another young lady witnessing to a man lost his composure and murdered her as well. You know, see, we've got to get our young people to know and to understand that it's an attack on righteousness, and it's an attack on righteousness as it relates to relationships, as it relates to the development of relationships, as it relates to the sustaining of relationships, and as it relates to the growing of relationships. So some might ask the question, you know, yes, we understand that if we seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things would be added unto it, then what exactly is righteousness? Well, if we go and look in the dictionary, it says that righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally right or justifiable. You know, we want to align that justifiable. We want to align that morality to those things that are come from the Father. See, now, some things that we sometimes see in our own mind as being righteous might be virtue, might be decency, integrity, worthiness, moral, ethical, high-mindedness, justice, honesty, innocent, blamelessness, all of sinlessness, purity, nobility. All of these things can be synonyms depending on how you want to apply them to a concept of righteousness. Yet we know and understand we live in a world and in a time where that's not always the way we see things or the way things go or the way things happen. So what's happened to this point in time when men and women, there was a time when there was a code of righteousness, or more correctly, has there ever been a time of righteousness that prevailed in marriage and oneness? We know and understand the enemy has always done his best to inject into the consciousness of our people a predictability to say we would not honor, we would not embrace, we would not believe into a moral code of righteousness. That instead we can read certain, not only from the Word of God, examples, we can read even in the secular world, example of things that happened to our ancestors that caused them to act or caused them to move outside of a philosophy or outside of a doctrine or a commitment to righteousness. And oftentimes this was necessary in order to just eat, to get a piece of bread, to have some meat to eat, to feed our children, to do things that was necessary in the mundane physical sense that oftentimes were viewed as an unrighteous act. By the word of God, fear that was inside each and every one of us. So what's been happening? All alone, we've been facing a world where there's a spirit that's released to steal, kill, and destroy. That scripture, it has so many applications, John 10:10. The thief, the enemy, whoever you want to call the demon, Satan, what doesn't make any difference, but that spirit has been released to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if left alone, without putting on any kind of armor, without putting on any kind of a war material, war attire, it will indeed destroy righteousness. And when righteousness is destroyed, relationships cannot be sustained. We may not look at it that way. We may not see it that way, but that's what it is. But we've entered this age where very few men and or women honor or believe in the concept of righteousness. Instead, in this era of let's do our own thing, you do your thing, I do my thing, something may happen, something may be good, something may not be good. Just this past Saturday night, the brothers were sharing, even just this morning, how Chris Rock was paid. I understand some $40 million or whatever to come on for about an hour or so. And in my view, just my own personal view, from what I heard about what took place, it really was not worth $40 million. To just hear a man stand up and use the N-word and the F-word and the MF word and all of these things as related to black folks, and to hear tirade about Will Smith and Jay, it was nothing righteous about it to me. Yet you would hear all of the laughter, all of the things taking place as a man is continuously coming across and saying things that would just release a spirit of unrighteousness to an audience, listening and laughing and allowing that spirit to go into their consciousness. And I can assure you, because I picked it up in the spirit, it wasn't a script that he wrote. I know it was not a script. The only part of the script perhaps that he himself personally wrote may have been coming out of the piece when he was looking at trying to come against Will Smith and Jada. Now, this is not in defense of Will nor Jada, not whatsoever, because they themselves had enough levels of unrighteousness themselves. But this is just simply about how we all get caught up into this predictive programming. We get caught up in these situations where it becomes more difficult for us to expect righteousness to show up, for us to expect some of the things that God wants to make available to us, kingdom tools, because we have failed in our pursuit. We have failed in our commitment to pursue, to honor, and uphold righteousness. It's a difficult thing. It's not easy in this postmodern era. Not at all. See, the world has programmed what is righteous right out of our mind and right out of something being required as an enablement for marriages, or especially even an enablement for relationships. As a matter of fact, the way things go oftentimes, you are expected not to even think about a concept of righteousness. Because even to think about a concept like that, you might be perceived as something weak. You may be perceived as someone that really have no swagger. And there are many examples we can point to, and we will, that exhibit an inability for couples to live in and marriages committed to righteousness or committed to each other. And most of this, again, is driven by this predictive programming where you are being expected to see things over and over and over. And as you see these things over and over and over, you begin to accept them. Someone asked the question then, what is this concept of predictive programming or predictive coding, and what does it mean? It's something that, it's a statement that the brain continuously generates models of the world based on context and information from memory to predict sensory input. So if you continue to be exposed to something via a concept of space repetition, and space repetition is simply where you are being programmed with the same thing over and over and over, all of a sudden your brain begins to perceive that as it's okay. You don't have to worry about what's going on. You don't have to worry about whatever the situations may be. It's okay because you have been predictively programmed. And so predictive programming is something that's used in advertisement. Think about it. If you continue to see a commercial over and over, all of a sudden you may find yourself going to a place and you hadn't thought about perhaps eating something, but all of a sudden you pick up what you have seen over and over and over again. The same thing holds true when you go on the internet and you got all of these ads all of a sudden popping up wherever you go, and there's something you've looked at recently. Why? Because it's trying to predictively program you, and now that you have been seeing it over and over, it's much easier for you to click the link to go ahead and research further and then perhaps even buy. All around us, we have these predictive programming elements that's causing our brain to be subdued, that's causing our brain to actually be seduced into a consciousness of unrighteousness. See, we don't think about this enough. Television, you know, if you really think about technology, even television itself is something that occurred in our own generation. Think about it. Most of us that's in the age group that we're in, we grew up 13-inch black and white little television, little clothes hanger as an antenna gathered around trying to see ABC, CBS, and NBC, three stations. And now a young child, a young person, a couple might grow up and they have so many choices, it's unbelievable. You don't even know what you want to watch because there's so many choices. So right there from that box, and again, when you break it down, that tell evil vision box, that television, tell even vision block. And I can remember now more than 50, almost 50 years ago, as a journalism minor in college, writing a paper on the effects, the negative effects of television on black folks' attitudes, values, and behavior. I could see some kind of way back day in the day, way back, that it was going to have a negative effect on relationships. It was going to have a negative effect on families. It was going to have a negative effect on friendship. I don't know how, don't know why, but that's the paper I wrote. That's what I saw in the spirit. And now all of a sudden, we fast forward and look at where we are now in this particular dispensation of 2023. And we forget sometimes that Y2K was only 23 years ago. It's not like it was a long time ago that we have accelerated so fast into accepting those things that are technologically driven that we don't even question them. So much to the point that it says people of all ages have become so addicted to the social media that oftentimes instead of husband and wives having a chance to sit down and having a discussion, they're just sitting there both going through their social media accounts, not even stopping to have any level of conversation at all. This is the world we're in. It challenges the concept of communication, because we said many times in the past, communication is the greatest need we have to retain and to maintain our marriages. That without communication, everything falls apart. Without communication, we cannot make it happen. But if we have communication, we're able to resolve. We're able to get past any challenge we may have in our relationship. So now you moved on today. You moved through the movie phase. There used to be a time you go to the movie, you really think about it, the movies that happened back in the day. It may be what we call action movies. They're nowhere near what we would call an action movie today. They're just totally different. How much flesh we may have been able to see 30, 40, 50 years ago, and how much flesh you're able to see today. That even in the contracts of some of these women, they have contracts in there to where if they're willing to show their breasts, i.e. Halle Berry, there may be another $500,000. If they're willing to show a full frontal nudity, they'll be paid such and such hundreds of thousands of dollars. But, you know, everything is set up in a manner that you do something that's going to expose a spirit of lasciviousness and debauchery. And because of that, we'll find ourselves predictively softened to the point to where it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. You're willing then to allow yourself to be objectified all over the place. And it's sad, but we have to admit that just like Chris Rock did his thing with Netflix and all of the things that were said about black folks, and folks are up there laughing and doing this and doing that, not realizing that once again they were being subliminally, predictively programmed on the level of consciousness that now they would go and could justify some of the thoughts they may have already had in their mind. And so now when they go to their computer, they tie it all back together, and they're looking at this and they're looking at that, and it seems as though all of a sudden all of their thoughts, their very thoughts, are popping up right in their face on their computer. All of these pop-ups begin to be, say, what? How in the world they do? I was interested in that. How did I know? Because now you'll be given the feedback on the predictive programming that you have encountered. And now the loop has been completed. You now push to buy something. Now it's done its job. You were exposed to something. You had space repetition involved. And once you had that involved, you began to subliminally be programmed. And as you was programmed, now your actions began to be predictable. And now based on that, boom, the same holds true then in our relationships today, where we have situations where we want to do certain things, we want to see certain things, but for whatever reason, we don't realize that we have been programmed so much that it's difficult for us to objectively see or objectively do what we want to do. This whole thing comes to a point today to where we have more information available to us that we could use to learn how to improve our communication, to learn how to develop a model of righteousness and to have goals in our relationships that it makes it very, very difficult. Now, there are some other things sometimes that makes it difficult to pursue or to have righteousness in oneness. Stuff happens in life. You know, think about it. You have children in life. All of your children may not be what you want them to be. Sometimes you got to deal with some issues. Sometimes you got to deal with some stuff that ain't going right. And when you don't see it going right, sometimes you got to say, oh, let me take a pause for the cause. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short pause, and we're going to come back and look at some of those specific examples of what's happened to righteousness in oneness. We'll be right back.
Ain't nobody worrying when the shots fly high and the sirens start to ring. Ain't nobody worrying when the kids die young and the mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody praying when they kneel down low, all they doing is tying the shoestring. Ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomach starts to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. How the children gonna learn when they gotta take turns, cause they ain't got books to read. Then our babies turn to crime, started getting high, cause the job train's kinda slow. Cause ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. When the tears start to fall and you can't see your way, just will carry on, come on.
Attacking righteousness all around, and it's definitely attacking marriage. Statistically, if we use a baseline that said the percentage of couples being married and sustained relationships was synonymous with a level of righteousness, then we'd have to see that righteousness is it's becoming a losing battle. It's fighting a losing battle. But truly, we don't see an increase in the percentage of our brothers and sisters who are committing themselves to oneness in marriage. Instead, we see the trend the other way. Yet that does not mean it's not vitally important in order for us to redirect, to resurrect, and to right the ship. For in order for us to be successful as a people, we must get to that point to where we can be successful in our relationships and the relationships between our men and our women. As long as we fail on a macro basis, meaning where we don't have at least 50% or more of our men and women in married relationships, where children are able to see the ebbs and flows of relationships, we don't believe we're going to ever be able to turn it around. We must turn it around. This generation must turn it around. If this generation does not turn it around, it's doomed. I'm going to say even America is doomed, because the same thing is happening in all ethnicities. The same thing is happening not only to black families, but to white families and other families as well. Just like all over this world, the same thing is harming teenagers in America, harming teenagers in Russia, in China, in Japan. It doesn't matter. They're all facing the same kind of stuff, because the internet now has made this a one world exposure to debauchery and lasciviousness. It's everywhere. All over the world, we see the impact of hip hop. We see the impact of young people and their swagger. That all over the world, people may not have the melanin that you have or I have, but they want the swagger that you have. And so all of a sudden that impacts and has an influence on how they view marriage or how they view oneness. All of this has got to be changed. And something has got to take place. We've got to get to a point to where we are willing as a people to read more, to study more, not just watch television, but to turn it off. Turn it off. Not just to read on the internet. Pick up a book, a real book, so you can touch it. You can see it. You can feel it. And that's another reason my heart was pricked when the young lady I mentioned earlier was murdered. She owned a bookstore, was an avid reader, used to come to the games, and she'd have her books while her daughter was playing. I know some said, what's all this got to do with righteousness? And oneness has got everything to do with it. Because, see, if we can learn that we can even coexist, that we can help each other, support each other, even when we may have different types of interest, we may have different things that we like to pursue, that we find a way to honor that different pursuit. We find a way to get involved a little bit on that pursuit. I know my wife, she's not a football fan, but I praise God and thank God that recently when the Super Bowl was on, she was right there watching it, cheering it, picking her team and doing the things just like everybody else. I know that when I used to never watch tennis because there was, quite frankly, wasn't any black folks in it, but when she started, got an interest in tennis, then I began to put an interest in tennis to get to the point to where I could learn the scoring. I could understand the scoring. I could understand what was going on, because nothing can be more frustrating, I'm sure, than you watching some sport or you watching whatever activity it may be, and you don't know the language of that activity. That's why we have to learn the languages of oneness. We've got to learn the languages of each other. And it's a lifelong learning experience, because guess what? Our needs change. They're not stagnant. They're not stagnant. We can't expect that our spouse be stagnant, that their needs are always going to be exactly the same. They will be evolving. And as they evolve, we must evolve with them. We must become more knowledgeable. We must expand our consciousness. People talk about being woke today. We have to be woke in our own relationships, because sometimes, guess what? The enemy may come and throw a curve into your marriage, into your relationship, to where all of a sudden one of the spouses may lose. One of them may be doing things that's not necessarily what's going to be beneficial to the other. So we have to learn, and we have to find out, what can we do? How can we help each other? What can we do that's going to help each other become successful in whatever it is that we are attempting to do? We can't remain the same. Because, see, none of us are the same. We're always growing or we're remaining static. And we can't be that, because when that happens, we become stagnant. And when we begin to go through stagnation, we know that sometimes the things can become foul. And when they become foul, they are contaminated. And once they are contaminated, without going in and neutralizing the contamination, then all of a sudden things could go wrong. Things could be ugly. So we don't want to be ugly. We want things to be right. We want things to look be in right standing with the Father. For when things are in right standing with the Father, we can expect that angelic protection. We can expect things to happen. And I got to share this one last piece that really, I mean, it blew me away today. I was waiting on a protocol, as some of you know, that I'm going through a protocol, as I'm a prostate cancer survivor, was and is. And about 6 months ago, went to do my normal blood work, and bam, PSA shot up. And when that happens, when you protocol years earlier, then only one thing could mean that particular enemy has attacked your body again, that all of a sudden now you are under attack. And so you do your best not to fret. You do your best not to worry about things. And, of course, there have been a lot of other things that's going on that's kept our family under a whole lot of distress and under duress and stress. But today I'm waiting on this package, not necessarily wait by the hour, but it happened about late morning. A doorbell rings, and I go to the doorbell, and there's a lady there with the package that I was expecting was going to come. You had to sign for it. And she said, "Oh, okay, what's your birth date?" And I tell her my birth date, and she said, "Oh, that's my mother's birth date." I said, "Oh, she must be a nice lady then." She said, "Oh, she was, but she died." I said, "Really?" I said, "If I may ask, what happened?" She said, "Oh, it was beautiful." Said I was talking to her, said she wasn't sick or anything, and she just died. I said, "What?" She said, "Yes, I was talking to her, and the next thing I know, she had just died, and I guess just gone to heaven. But she had not had any pain. She had not had any sickness. Nothing had happened whatsoever." And I said, "Her birthday was my birthday." She said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, my goodness." And it was almost like something happened in the supernatural realm. I can't even explain it. I can't even explain it. And it was like God was speaking and saying that, again, I got you. You know, you got work to do. That if you didn't have work to do, just like that, I could take you in an instant. And there's nothing that could be done about it. But no, you keep on believing for life. You keep on praying to do the things that you've been purposed to get done. But no one understands that I am God and I make the call. It just brought a peace to my spirit in so many ways that are not pertinent to tonight's lesson that I will not get into. But I can just tell you that all of a sudden, I began to see so many things differently. And we began to think about it. I shared this with some brothers I pray with every day. And the message was all the same, is that God speaks to us in many ways to let us know, hey, I got you, because I can take you out or I can release you from duty at a moment's notice, whether you're sick or whether you're not sick. And so I saw the bookends. I saw both bookends. The one bookend, you know, there's all of this sickness going on and everything that you're battling against. And on the other end is all this health that's going in. But God, as a sovereign God, can make a decision that's unlike anything we could ever imagine and make up in his own mind that I'm going to do this. And I'm going to take this route because of whatever. And we don't control that. We don't control that. Just like in our marriages, we can do our parts. And our reality is that we must be committed to do our part. And if we do our part, God's going to handle the rest. There are going to be days when it may seem difficult to do so, but at the end of the day, we can get it done. Now, we should be working in our marriages to always have a general transfer of information. And we should always be looking to share, to give, to edify. Because when we share, when we give, when we edify, something beautiful happens. We begin to see the law of reciprocity takes. But in this dispensation, we're bombarded with all kinds of false evidence appearing real to tell us we shouldn't do so. Then instead, we should find a way to fight back. We should find a way to be like the world. Yet, see, we're not the world, but we are being told all the time that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you become that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God. That's what God has spoke to us in that 12th chapter of Romans, that we become that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. That we won't be like the world. We won't be saying that we have been blinded by that small g God of this world that believeth not. And see, that's what is amongst us today. So many, maybe our children, maybe our friends, maybe our coworkers, our neighbors, our whatever, they have no consciousness and concept of what it means to serve the Most High. But instead, they embrace the unrighteousness that has poisoned and contaminated this world. We pray tonight that your marriage would never be contaminated, that you never will allow the world to conform you to come to something that's so different from what God has ordained for your life. We pray tonight that all of us will know and understand that while we fall short of the glory of God, there is nothing too impossible. There is nothing in our relationship that God cannot fix. And we pray that we all are willing to submit ourselves to each other, one to each other, that we might become in that relationship, in our marriage, all that God has ordained from the beginning. Father, bless these marriages, those that are married, and those that desire to be married. May their wish come true. May their dream be realized, that they too might come to know and to understand the beauty of walking in oneness, enjoying each other, in executing and exercising the fruit of the Spirit. And Father, until we meet together next week, we pray that you take care of each brother and each sister, and that they might experience the desires of their heart. We thank you, Father, for their presence tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Have a good week. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Agape love.